Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
Welcome to another installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. It's the Mr. B Clothing Podcast. Popped into Timmy Sitzman, Mr. B Clothing, a couple weeks ago, getting ready for Sitzman's picks, where Tim is historically here at CycloneFanatic.com. He goes through game by game and picks Iowa State's record. Now, he's done pretty good over the years. Last year was a little off. I think he had the Clones at like 7-5. So hopefully Tim gets back on board this year. He picks him to go like 9-3, and they can open up this new Jack Trice Stadium with a bang in 2015. What do you think about that, Brent Bloom?
Tim Sitzman's an optimist.
He is an optimist.
So if they do, if he'll do well if they do well, which is the only way to live, really.
Yeah,
got to be an optimist.
He had a guy come in to Mr. B. At least he told me this, and I don't know why he would just make this up, but some fanatic went in there and said, the only reason I'm in here is because I wanted to tell you how much smarter you are than Chris Williams. This is my life.
That's a referral, though.
Yeah, no, I'll take it.
It's a backhanded compliment,
I'll take a referral. I'll take that every day of the
Whoever
week.
Whoever that is, I'm sure they listen to the Mr. B podcast.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We really do.
And you're probably right, because Tim Sitzman is probably smarter than you.
I mean, the man's owned his own business for how many years? He's pretty much a genius.
He can wear a suit.
Hey, I'm glad to see you today. I was a little concerned. We had storms rattling through the area on Sunday night. My wife and I, along with Dirks, you know, we're hunkered down here in the basement. We were watching watching Ed Wilson and Brett McIntyre and the crew, Channel 13, on our we were actually... You know what? We're satellite people, so it starts raining hard enough, and you can't really.
So you're done.
Yeah, you cash out. So we were watching them on the app, their live weather app, or you know whatever you want to call it, and we're sitting there going, man, you know, Bloom and Crystal. I hope they're okay, because you guys live in a townhome, no basement. I was concerned about Zoe's livelihood. So did you guys? I take it you made it okay, no damage.
I'm here. We're okay. It got dicey there a little bit where we contemplated going to my folks'
really?
Place.
But that would have been dumb just to get up and leave, though.
Well, but it was far enough out where you could say, well, this thing's kind of producing tornadoes. I got 25 minutes. It only takes about 8 minutes to get to my parents. I could have done that, but I looked at the radar. I kind of projected things a little bit like Mel Kiper.
Yeah.
And figured out that this thing was going north. And we were southwest of Des Moines, so we were going to be okay. So and it rained and it was windy, but everybody was okay. I do feel bad because I'm a channel flipping severe storm fiend, so I flip from one station to the next just because that's the best reality television there is.
Yeah,
severe weather, because you could actually die in severe weather.
Yeah,
and people have. So it's not like the Kardashians where you know that's all fake. So I'm flipping between
it's
8 and 13.
I mean,
bad for Channel 5, first of all. Let me give a shout-out to my guy, Brad Edwards.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a phenomenal meteorologist, but he is working with single-A tools, and it's not his fault. It really is not his fault. I know people kill Channel 5, but don't kill Brad Edwards.
Same as Zawalinski.
Yeah.
The sports.
It's unfair, because those guys have been dealt, you know, if they've got a 52-card hand at 8 and 13, and they do... These guys have about 10 cards, and they're trying to make a full house out of that.
They're dealt a 7-2 in Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, but Brad is really smart, but his Doppler looks like a fourth grade finger paint, and so I can't watch that. So I slip it between 8 and 13, and inexplicably, as the tornado is bearing down on Ankeny, Channel 8 goes through the newscast.
What?
And starts talking about Laserfest. During the middle of a tornado warning in Polk County. They go from the newscast, then they take 3 minutes of commercials including
they took commercials.
They took commercials, including a promo for their weather department. Wow, a tornado warning is going on. I had to watch it to see how long they would stay there. It was a good 5 minutes of non-weather coverage in the middle of a tornado warning in your biggest populace in the state.
Well, 13 canceled sound off. Well, they were nonstop.
And I don't want to play favorites here because I think McLaughlin is a sharp guy. I think he's really smart. I don't think it was his decision necessarily, but somebody in the control room made a terrible error of cutting out of weather.
Somebody probably that's borderline fireable offense.
And I'm never for firing somebody.
But I think,
but you can't do that. What are you doing? It's one thing if it's in Audubon County and it's a severe thunderstorm. And you have...
Well, do you not care about the Audubon folks?
Well, the Wheelers, right?
Yeah, the Audubon Wheelers. Actually drove through there just yesterday, actually.
No, I respect them, but they're far enough away from the major populace.
They have that big bull when you roll into town.
yes, they do. And you break away from programming then, but you're in the middle of your newscast, and you still break away from the weather. It was one of the more baffling decisions I've seen.
That there, though, that's how you lose viewers.
Because
if somebody goes there relying on that, they can't find it, and then they flip it over to 13 or 5, and they're ready for action. Now, it was opposite earlier in the day. I will say this because because NBC was playing the golf,
right?
Which I appreciated,
right?
And 8 they had like Major League Fishing on or something like that, and they were McLaughlin was going, and that's a tough job too. You and I know this from our days in radio. Back in Southwest Iowa, we were the guys who a lot of times were doing the severe weather coverage.
That's right.
Okay, so you're getting like faxes coming in. You have like the National Weather Service guys calling in. You got to patch them through all while
storm
you're doing
reports.
Yeah, you got reporters all while you're trying to do live radio. Then there's always a guy or a gal there who's like running you in like pieces of paper, new warnings from the National Weather Service.
Yeah,
that was fun, though. I actually enjoyed those nights.
Yeah. And those guys, McLaughlin, Wilson, McIntyre, I'll do it, Brad Edwards to a lesser degree because nobody watches him just because of, again, his fourth grade tools. But that's a hard job, and those guys do it really well. They manage to keep people informed, and you learn something every time you watch of those guys. You pick up some new term. And they spotted that tornado by Lake Panorama before the Weather Service issued it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool they can do that. So I give them credit for that. I do not give credit to the KCCI board op or whoever it was decided to cut.
We got to pay some bills here.
Got to cut to a promo in the middle of a tornado warning.
So we're down here. We'll move on to Iowa State in a second. But you know my wife very well. I'm watching these
guys.
Did
she freak out?
Well, not normally, but I think there was enough hype about yesterday where I think she was actually pretty concerned. So we're down here in the basement of the home office, and like say I'm on my iPad, I'm kind of like watching Twitter on my phone, kind of multitasking, and all of a sudden she goes, "If a tornado ever hits us, this will be our house." And she shows me on her iPad like this house just getting like blown to smithereens. Like, so she's over there Googling, like,
destruction and death
and from a tornado. She's sitting there planning out worst-case scenario. In fact, at one point, she made me go upstairs and get us pairs of shoes in case we needed to escape the house. We had to make sure that Dirk's had, like, the right collar because her plan was to tie us down to some 2x4s underneath the steps, and Dirk's would be tied down as well. Dirk's is our dog.
She's watched too much Twister.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, talk about pessimistic. Like, you know, I'm sitting here just going like, you know what? I'm going to go and bungee down the grill so the grill doesn't fly off of our deck.
Right.
She's Googling like, she's like, what's our insurance deductible if our house blows away? That type of stuff. I'm like, my God, woman, just take a deep breath.
I didn't think your wife's kind of a fatalist.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Which she's a very positive person, but.
Well. So you think. Then she gets me one-on-one and she starts nagging at. You know how it is. Crystal does the same thing to you. Don't act like she doesn't. The only problem is Crystal listens to this podcast and Ashley doesn't.
You were going to bungee cord yourself to a 2x4.
No, we were going to use Dirk's collars, actually.
At what point would you have gotten to that point?
Well, that would be if the roof got blown off the house. Yeah.
But then you're probably too late.
Oh, no. So
did
at
you
what
have
point?
It set up?
So I think at that point, yeah, like you know, you're just prepared to tie yourself to the 2x4, and you gotta hope for the best.
That's what happened in Twister. It worked for them in Twister.
Yeah,
it really did. We really worked for it. So that was fun. And we made it. The only people, I don't think anybody died.
Nope.
Lake Panorama sustained some damage.
God bless them.
Yep. Hopefully they'll be okay. Because that's probably somebody's summer home.
I had some breaking news today. I don't know if you call it breaking news. The renderings for the south end zone
were
released by
fun news
Iowa State. That was cool. So we got that to talk about here in the podcast. We're going to talk about the 6 foot or the 7 foot one Greek.
Did you get pronunciation on him yet?
No. Well, that's part of the podcast. You haven't seen the rundown, but we're going to try and pronounce his name. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk just a little bit about, hey, I'm doing a piece on McThree. I talked to McThree earlier today. So
Tyrus.
Yeah, a little update on Tyrus. News and notes. Let's do quick news and notes before we get into the bulk of the conversation.
You need like a sound effect.
We do, and we'll have that too. This is, you know, I don't want to shatter our big announcement. There's going to be a lot more podcasting in our future starting in like August. But I've got a, you know, you can't just make an announcement like that in passing. It's got to be, you got to make, I'm a promoter. I'm a hype guy.
You're the Don King of Central Iowa.
Yeah, we're going to, well, I don't know about that. Yeah.
Well, you are.
I'm the Don King of CycloneFanatic.com. We'll put it that way. So we're gonna do that how it's supposed to be done here later on in a few months. But yeah, we're gonna have much better equipment. And I understand like when we're doing these podcasts, it can be sometimes our voice like fluctuates. We're doing our best with what we have. Our equipment's going to be like five times as good here
again,
coming up in August.
We've got Channel 5 equipment.
Yeah,
you're upgrading to high level like New York style.
Yeah. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet. Let's just start off with the south end zone. The renderings released today, I thought really we all knew that it was going to be bowled in. What I was anxious to see, I figured it would be sleek. I figured it would look, be aesthetically pleasing, which is really the reason why they're doing this. So that's what they've told us. The quote-unquote entrance to the university, we got to pretty it up. What I found two things interesting, Brent, from the release. One, the capacity. That's what I wanted to know. What's the capacity of Jack Trice Stadium going to be? 61,000. Two, and I wasn't really looking for this, I was impressed that the scoreboard on the south end zone is basically going to be a lot like the one on the north end zone.
Is it the same size? We don't know for sure, do we?
I'll read you exactly what the press release says. If I can find it here.
That would be nuts.
Well, it says similar to current board in north end zone as far as video board structure.
So no exact dimensions yet.
150 by 36.
What's the current one? Somebody's probably already done the homework for us. But that's a big... When they built the one in the north end zone, that was the top 20... size scoreboard in America at the time.
Yep.
So to have two of them in the same stadium, that's a lot of board right there.
It just says similar to the same board in the north end zone, but
it's got to be close then.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at the pictures, it looks the same. So my point is that's really cool.
That's great.
And that will, because the only concern I had ever with expanding the end zone and bowling it in. It was losing the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Iowa State might be a 3-9 football team last year, but it's still damn fun to go to a game in Jack Trice Stadium because it's very intimate. It's kind of like the way I always compare it, the difference between when the Omaha Royals played in Rosenblatt Stadium.
Sure.
You know, it's just crickets. They could have a decent crowd, and you couldn't tell because the stadium was so big. And now they're out at that one in Sarpy County where like a – tenth of the amount of people are allowed in that place, but it's packed every night. It gives you that perception. It's like our Cyclone Fanatic recruiting party. People be like, well, why don't you move it over to Seven Flags? No, I don't want that. I want it at the cake stand. We're going to pack you in like sardines. When Paul Rhodes comes walking through there, you can put a hand on the guy.
Well, anymore, these most professional stadiums that are being built new are having, and even college too, are having less seats. More club seats, okay, for the high-dollar people, but less seats. Even Baylor. So Baylor was in that atrocity of a stadium in downtown Waco that was terrible. Floyd Casey Stadium had 60,000 seats, maybe 65,000 seats, but they never filled it, so they had to have the tarp on there. their new stadium, which opens up this fall, just 45,000. So people say, I think Iowa State fans sometimes get disillusioned because they see Iowa on the other side of the state, and then their 70,000-seat stadium say we have to match them.
Mm-hmm.
When in all reality, Iowa did not sell out every game last year.
No.
If you get too big, then you run the risk of having empty seats, which does not look good. That's why I think the 60,000 number, there was some discussion on your message board today from people who said, I hope they do the same thing to the north end zone now and add 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 more seats. And that's a maybe for me. You start getting into 70,000, you lose, you're right, some of that intimacy of being right on top of the field. And I don't know if you could fill that, even with the increased fan base.
And being the Don King, your words, not mine, it's a lot easier to sell what you're doing if you can say we've sold out this many. And sell it, I mean, from a marketing standpoint, a public relations standpoint, it's easier to pitch to a recruit. Listen, we've sold out 10 games in a row.
Right.
And I think, too, this is a situation, Brent, where it's fun to go to games there.
Sure.
And the Kansas game, forget about the temperatures, but it was, what, half full? Like a third full? Wasn't as much. You didn't get that. And my deal is, even if – look at that picture right up there, Bloom, of Jack Trice Stadium. I don't know. I think that's like during the 2005-2006 season. But the corners of the end zone are not full.
Right.
And that doesn't give you that type of an atmosphere. Even there could be more people in there, but it doesn't feel the same.
I agree. I thought Ben Brun said something interesting in the Register today. Of course, Ben's the former All-American,
yeah,
our buddy on the Cyclone Radio Network. But he also, his day job, he's essentially, I'm going to give him this word, he's a pimp project manager. Okay, the guy's a stud.
He's a pimp?
He's an up-and-comer, but he's the one in charge of this, of project managing this end zone project. And he said, the biggest thing for him was when you're coming out of that tunnel now, when you run out of there, you see people. Because now you come out of that tunnel, and there's still those wide open spaces in the south end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't have the feel. Now you close that in, that noise stays in,
yeah,
and the whole feel is different while keeping what Jack Trice is good to begin with.
It's like watching a NASCAR race. What, you know, that sport was growing in a similar way to Iowa State. Fan base has been growing, and in the late 90s, early 2000s, so you have all these tracks popping up all over the country, right? And you're getting out of your heart and soul, which is down south where you kind of created the sport, and you're creating these tracks with 2-3 times the amount of seating that a Darlington has, or that a Richmond has, some of the blue blood tracks of NASCAR. And now they can't even get them half full. And what that does, then you're watching it on TV and you're like, well, this sucks. It could be a really exciting race, but when you don't see anybody there, like those MAC games on Tuesday nights on ESPN, some good football being played sometimes in the Sun Belt on Tuesday, Wednesday nights, but it doesn't look that way. It's all about creating that, and that's why I was pumped about the video board, because it's like, man, that does add something to it. You just think of both of those things are blasting and bloom. It could blow your eardrum out.
How much complaining will the Iowa fans do then?
You got to have something to bitch about, right?
So much fourth quarter fun with Sweet Caroline then. Double Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
I like it, by the way. It didn't go unnoticed by me that you compared Jack Trice Stadium to a NASCAR track.
Well, I think it's a valid point.
It was.
The Atlanta Braves. They're creating that new stadium. It's 20,000 seats fewer than Turner Field.
That's the future for all these venues. Now, unless you're crazy people like Texas A&M or Nebraska, and you have nothing else to do.
Yeah. Well, Nebraska will sell out. It doesn't matter how good they are.
Well, and A&M's adding 20,000 more fans to their already 100,000-seat stadiums. Like, what are you doing? But there's nothing else to do down there, so they're going to build until they start losing, and then they'll have 60,000 people in a 120,000-seat stadium.
SEC, man.
How will that look?
They're taking over the world. Yeah, so that was the big news from early this week.
I was...
I thought it looked good.
Yeah.
Very sleek would be the word I would come up with.
And they get their money's worth again. This is what amazes me about Pollard and company. That thing, $60 million, right? I think was what the press release said.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a comparable thing, like at K-State, and they're spending $20, $30 million more than that. Iowa State has an amazing ability to get max out every dollar, which they have to do because they don't have as much money as some of those others.
Yeah.
And yet that 61,000, I think it'll put them third or fourth now in the Big 12 in total number of seats.
I found out the measurements from that north end zone board.
Oh, yeah. 10 minutes.
Well, this
later.
Is according. This is the only thing I could find. Footballscoop.com, a release from 2011. The high-definition screen measures 36 feet high and 79.5 feet wide. And the new one, it says 150 by 36. So the 36 is similar.
Makes sense.
And the 150 is more than...
But they'll have those
yeah.
speakers on the side.
Correct. That's just given the dimensions of the entire thing, not the
so
actual
it is,
video
it is
board.
Similar.
Yeah. I don't know why they put that in the release if that wasn't the case. More bathrooms, so the women don't complain. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. The lower bowl capacity, 7,500. 3,000 of those are club seats. Upper bowl south end zone seating capacity, 5,800. So there's your extra seats.
Okay.
What do you think of those folks who don't want to get rid of the hillside seating? See, I didn't go to Iowa State games when I was a kid. Did you ever like,
did.
Run around
no,
and play football like the Lazards
oh, yeah.
and the Arnauds?
Oh,
the
absolutely. That's what you had
the
to
clones
do.
Clones are just getting throttled by 40. And
so the older folks will appreciate this. Iowa State had a punt returner in the Walden days named James the Eel McMillian. And he was the highlight for these terrible Walden teams. So I remember I was on the hillside when he's doing a punt return for a touchdown. This was like 92. And I tried to be the eel on the hillside, but then I went rolling down the hill because you started to get footed on there. But no, that was the thing to do because they were terrible, and so you had to keep yourself occupied, and that's what you did on the hillside. But now they're not as terrible, and they've actually had some good years. People should want to sit and watch the game now.
This is not
a picnic.
Never mind. We're not going to get into it. I was going to ask, does this actually, in a weird way, put more pressure on Paul Rhodes to win? Not now. But I don't want to get into it. He's got to win either way. Everybody, you got to win. That's college athletics.
Yeah. The pressure's there, whether it's 4,000 more seats or not.
Yeah.
He's still getting 57,000 in that stadium.
Oh, yeah.
At times. So it's the number increase isn't that dramatic.
No.
From when you filled in all the hillsides.
Yeah. Which is what we kind of all anticipated anyways. All right, let's move on to hoops. We got to pronounce this young man's name. Big Hoops commitment on Sunday, and as I wrote about in Monday Musings, which I really didn't get posted till late in the day, but never once, and now actually, Bloom, been doing this for 10 years now, this Iowa State thing.
Oh.
You believe it or not? I started in 2004 is when I first started working for CycloneNation.com.
Wow. Getting old, dude.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this young man, so 7'1".
He was 7 when you started. So he would have been 7 years old when you started covering Iowa State.
Oh, okay. There you go. But the point is, I've never had a story break during church on a Sunday morning, let alone one of a 7-foot center.
Not even in those
Greece, committing to the Cyclones.
Conference realignment days never impacted Sunday.
Well, it impacts Sunday, but not church. Usually, like, news breaks in the afternoon on Sunday. Like this year when Rhodes canned Messingham and Pope.
That was a Sunday afternoon.
Which, that's timing still surprising. I figured you'd give him one day to celebrate West Virginia. But he got right to business. Yeah. Georges? Is it? Or
I have no idea.
Jorge?
Yorius?
I'm going to go with Georges.
But you can't have a George and a Georges when they both look similar. How do you give me the letters?
G-I-O. Is it G-O? It's got to be Georges.
I think it's got to be Georges, too.
It's got to be Georges. You have a George Niang with an E-S, and you have Georges Salporus.
Give me the letters.
I'm assuming the T is silent.
Yes.
So T-S-A-L-M, Samporus?
Samporus.
Samporus?
Yeah.
Georges Samporus?
Samporus.
Samporus? Oh, kind of like Pete Sampras, but Samporus.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. Here's
Georges Samporus.
You're on the radio, so you I used to do some PA announcing back in my day.
Say it as fast as you can.
You say it as fast as you can, and you hope nobody notices.
Yeah.
So, Summers.
Summers.
Oh, yeah, it sounded kind of like it.
I saw you, and I was really kind of irked with you. I retweeted it, but then I'm like, you compared him to Tony Kukoc.
Yeah.
Tony Kukoc is a great player for the Chicago Bulls back in the day. You're putting those type of expectations on the young man from
like,
Greece?
Watch him.
I watched the video.
If you do, guy's got that little herky-jerky going. Tony wasn't an athletic specimen, would you say? He was a great player. This is on Purvis guy. Sound like John Gruden here.
Let's call him GT.
GT?
Yeah, that wasn't Gruden. I tell you, this guy could be all Big 12 from the beginning for Iowa State.
It's interesting, the story, if it's true, that Fred offered him from watching YouTube videos, which are the same YouTube videos you posted.
Yeah.
And I believe it. I actually found, I was doing some deep diving, which is a term I hate.
Where did you read that? Who reported that?
I heard it somewhere, I thought. I read a lot of stuff.
Okay.
It had to be Randy or Travis or somebody.
Because my recollection of how this went down is he was tipped off.
Okay.
Somebody
well,
in the Timberwolves scouting department overseas.
Okay, well that.
And then.
But he has never seen him in person,
yeah,
I guess. Is
no, okay, so that's absolutely believable, yeah. Because I doubt he has. I don't think Fred's taken any trips to Greece, and chances of this kid being.
Well, I believe that he was tipped off. But I'm saying he's never seen him, so the only. But he offered him after watching a video of some sort.
Okay.
But I was looking at videos today, and I stumbled upon Eurobasket.com or net. Again, we've discussed this before. You can lose a lot of time on Eurobasket.
Yeah.
But they had a link to a game of his from a couple weeks ago. He's actually filled out a little bit even since some of those YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's the thing with this kid. He's got to get bigger.
He's slight, but 7'1 is 7'1, and he can make a jump shot. So you put those two together, and you have an open scholarship after Ryan Anderson stiffed you to go to Arizona. Why not? There are worse scholarships to give.
Yeah, and people, this will kind of hush up the, you haven't signed a high school player in how long crowd, too.
He's younger than a high school player.
Yeah, 17 years old, just turned 17.
But good-looking passer, not overly athletic, but he doesn't have to be. He had a long reach, can defend the rim.
You know what I think about doing? Not that he needs it. If you can, what would a redshirt year do for this guy?
He won't, though.
Hey, I don't think he will either because they need the size, especially with Jamil McKay not playing until January. But think if you could.
This is
a guy who would really benefit from that.
Oh, no question. But here's
he's not
the
coming here from Greece to redshirt.
Exactly. And this is why it's not a bad scholarship offer, in my opinion. You had one available. You still have one available for Hollis Cook, correct?
Correct. He will be a Cyclone. That's my projection.
Okay. So this was going to go unused, or you give it to a walk-on. So you give to this guy who's a roll of the dice. Absolutely. This guy's not a sure thing.
He might not make it to campus either. With the overseas stuff, you don't know how transcripts are going to do. It's kind of a roll of the dice.
And I'm sure Iowa State's done a little bit of homework to get that, but you never know. But even if this guy doesn't work out, as a Greek national, he can find a professional job right away if he wanted to leave. So then you just
like
say... Like Luka. So you say, okay, GT?
Yeah, just GT.
Didn't quite work for us, but go make a lot of money overseas. If it doesn't work out, that's worst case. Mm-hmm. Best case, this guy's a Yulo Mikalik clone, and he plays 3 or 4 years and impacts your team.
I see Mikalik around Southwest Iowa quite a bit.
He's at Fremont Mills? Tri-Center.
Yeah, you had the right school colors. But
he's got a little Mikalik in him, too. I think Mikalik and Kukoc are my two comps.
This guy's a combination... Between Mikalik
and
Kukoc?
Yes.
Sign me up, man.
Because Mikalik, if you looked at him, you're like, this guy is not a basketball player. All of a sudden, he's got 18 points on your backside, and you're like, where'd that come from?
That's good stuff.
GT can score.
GT might just be a one and done based off of how you're describing him.
Here's the deal, though. A 7'1 guy who can shoot will find a job anywhere. And he was recruited to be signed by the two big Greek clubs. Olympiakos is one of them. And those teams are better than Big 12 caliber. So if he was being pursued by them, he's obviously got some talent. And he's, who knows? He's a young guy and he's not big yet, but There are worse rolls of the dice, such as Tennessee picking up Eric McKnight.
Yeah, that guy's been all over the place. Starts as a clone, ends up at Dunk City, and now he's with Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl's at Auburn now. He's at the former school of Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, with Tyndale, the Southern Miss guy.
Yeah, the guy who Doc replaced.
I think GT, give him a shot. If he doesn't work out, I mean, they're going to be good enough without him that this doesn't have to be – this doesn't have to work out.
And yeah, this does, isn't that big of a gamble. Bonus. We kind of have used the roll of the dice, but it's really not a gamble at all.
No, not from an Iowa State – standpoint, but if he is good and he's a big guy who can space the floor like a Jamie Vanderbeek did not have a post move and he still averaged double figures his senior year. When you have a George Niang on the post, he's going to draw attention. You have a big guy who can shoot the three, which I think GT can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's places for guys like that.
Let's do a few other basketball notes, as I think we've beaten the GT drum to death.
He wouldn't come over for Summer League, though. I know people were asking that. It sounds like he would play
with that
on the national
team.
Well, which is
as
really
he should.
Good. Yeah.
That's way better competition
than Drake.
Yeah.
Or Central.
I thought this tweet was interesting. From Wojnarowski, your boy, NBA
Adrian.
Guy.
Yeah. Stud.
Two college coaches who intrigue NBA execs.
I saw this.
Some who have openings, some who don't. Michigan's John Beilein and Virginia's Tony Bennett. That's my boy, TB. Because, you know, if you remember correctly, towards March Madness, as it was creeping up, Tony Bennett jumped into my Tad Boyle,
right,
Lon Kruger.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, he kind of worked his way on there with Hoiberg, Kruger, and Boyle. So it's now I've got, like, the Fab Four. I'm looking to add a fifth. So I'm out there. You know, if any coaches are out there wanting to impress me, go ahead and shoot me an email to Chris M. Williams at CycloneFanatic.com. But TB now getting some NBA love. Found it. I like the tweet, though, because he didn't go with the worn-out Hoiberg. He's giving us something fresh, Bloom. Do those guys translate, in your opinion? Beilein's a guy who was
surprising
on the hot seat like 3 years ago.
Well, two guys who have done a fantastic job of developing players, and you're seeing more and more of why these college coaches are being more coveted.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for instance, Cleveland this year. Hire Mike Brown, who had a lot of success with LeBron on his team, but you gave him a team this year with a lot of young guys in need of development, and they absolutely crashed and burned. He's out of a job. Because a lot of these NBA guys are on the bench. They're not used to working with these kids and getting them to progress with their skills. Beilein and Bennett are two of the best.
Which is the perk of being an NBA coach,
right?
Because
you don't have to worry about this kid
passing geometry.
Right. You should have NBA-ready guys, but some of these aren't now. And so they're looking at teachers like Bennett and Beilein. What surprised me about Bennett, he's not an offensive guy. And all these NBA teams also want to go to this wide-open offense. Cleveland supposedly fired Mike Brown because they want to find a coach who shoots a lot of threes. In the wide open Jeff Hornacek style, so
Bennett is the opposite of Hoiberg.
Well, he
correct?
Is. That's why that one's surprising. Now Beilein plays a lot like that.
Yeah,
and he's a player friendly guy, and everybody likes Beilein. I can see him actually. I've never thought of it because he's an older guy, but I think his coaching style would translate really well to the NBA. Where Bennett would be a bit of an adjustment, but he's a young guy. He's a charismatic guy, and if you're young and charismatic, you can find pretty much any job you want. And see Fred Hoiberg.
Bennett I really like him. Clearly, we need to see one more year of Virginia before you can put him in this category, in my opinion.
Defensively, they've always been excellent, but I don't know. Defense in the NBA, I know it's a hard knock. I just wonder what you can do at that level different than what's already been done defensively.
Is Oklahoma City going to have an opening?
No.
It's not going to happen.
I don't believe so. Because
that guy needs to be fired.
Durant had, that was awful yesterday.
That guy, I mean, that guy, the only person I can see screw up with their job more and keep it is a weatherman. That's really the only thing. Who else? Like, that guy, that team, you put that, you got like Phil Jackson or Pat Riley or, you know, any of those elite coaches coaching that team.
But they had to get the 20-point lead.
This is not just from Sunday.
He's been to an NBA Finals.
I don't care. Like, but this, that guy, I don't know how he still has his job. I don't know.
It will be interesting to see what the Thunder do.
Does Kevin Durant like him?
Yes. That's why he has
but
a job.
Can't Kevin Durant be objective enough to look in the mirror and go, dude, this guy's holding us back?
Durant's under contract, I think, till 2016. If the Thunder want to make a run at a title, maybe you have to look at another coach.
You have to. I mean, this guy.
I agree. I don't think he's a great game coach. He's a good dude.
I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm not coming at him personally. I just
need more than that.
I look at a team there and I'm like, that team should be going to the NBA Finals.
Their last 6 minutes was just abysmal. Just abysmal. Doc Rivers.
Put Tibbs on that team. Tibbs, man. My boy.
It's tough. There's a fine line between being a player's coach, which Brooks is, and knowing when to push buttons at the right time. And he's kind of let Durant and Westbrook run that team. Sometimes this is what happens, is you lose control, and then that team could do nothing in the fourth quarter.
It's bad.
But it's funny you say that. Doc Rivers is now considered probably one of the top three coaches in the NBA.
Yeah.
When he first came up, he was an NBA. He was a head coach with the Magic. Everybody hated his in-game coaching, but he learned. So sometimes it takes a little while.
Well,
I don't know if Scott Brooks can get it done in enough time with Durant.
You only have so much time, like with a nucleus, right? Kind of like your Magic back in the day. Like you knew that they had X amount of years before Dwight was getting the hell out of there. And I'm not saying Durant. Well, I actually think that's a really natural place for him to literally play his whole career and retire. Make a lot of sense just because he's not a guy who's like, well, you know, like Dwight, you knew he wanted to get to the big market. You knew he wanted to cash a check. And I don't actually take Kevin as that. I think that he's more down to earth. I think Oklahoma State's perfect for him, but they can't win a championship with that guy as your coach. You can't.
I'm starting to wonder.
You can't. I'll say it. And I'm not even an NBA savant like you are. Okay. Like that's the reason I even feel like I can have an opinion. Like, I feel like with most NBA topics, me having an opinion is worthless because I don't watch it enough. But I do like watching the Thunder. Like, I will watch the Bulls because that's my favorite team. But I actually find myself watching more Thunder games than I do Chicago Bulls just because I love Durant, the Big 12 guy. I think he's a good dude.
Yep.
They intrigue me. And so I've watched a lot of their games. And every time I'm thinking, how is this guy still their coach?
Well, they should have been up 3-1, though, in the semis. And now it's 2-2.
Well, should have. We'll see. You know, the Vikings should have won a couple of Super Bowls, too, Bloom. They haven't.
You got Teddy. You got Teddy now.
Touchdown Teddy, baby. I was going to touch on the draft.
Are you happy with that?
You know what? I was sitting down here. Dirks and I picked up a six-pack. And I was excited because I'm a Vikings season ticket holder now.
That's right.
Yeah.
You took the plunge.
Yeah. Yep, me and Adam Carper, we decided to do it. It's strictly a financial move.
I was going
to
say.
50,000 seats, that's all they have, Bloom.
Bring your nut cup.
50,000 seats, usually filling up 72,000.
Comes back to our supply and demand argument.
Yeah, it's all about supply and demand. And
economics
101. A little thing called StubHub.com. I'll probably go to two games. But anyways, situation here where I'm a little more invested now, though, because of that. In fact, I'll probably go to those, like, at least one of the preseason games and just tailgate because it's nice and warm.
And you can't sell those tickets.
Yeah, but it's a good excuse to just get out of town
and
go and fire up the grill and have a few Busch Lights. And plus, it's going to be cool in that small stadium, too. I actually think it goes back to our stadium argument. I think if you put 50,000 rowdy Vikings fans at the beginning of the year when there's still, in our minds, a chance, there's a little bit of hope. Yeah,
the weather's nice.
Yeah. That'll actually be a pretty cool atmosphere, I would think. So hopefully that happens, and then maybe I can go more than two games. I'm not doing this all just to sell the tickets.
If they get good and they're fun to go to.
My thing is I want them in my family's name.
Sure.
And I can.
That's smart.
With the internet now, you can sell your tickets whenever you want.
I
want to have my name in there for the new state. I just want to have them in my family's name from now until, God willing, I can continue to pay my bills.
I admire the theory until they lose to Cleveland again like they did last year, and you're just a miserable human being.
That was one of my lower points.
But
one of my lower points.
Were you looking for Manziel?
Yeah, absolutely. Strictly from a financial standpoint.
To get back to the finances.
Yeah. The demand of those tickets would have been through the roof if you get Johnny Football. No, I did want him, though, because my take on Manziel, and it's been the same, he's interesting. And I went off on this a couple weeks ago. A lot of people listen to the podcast. I don't need to go on the same rant. But Manziel, to me, is a feast or famine type guy. And I'm you know, the Vikings just play to win. You know, you play to win the game. And I feel like Manziel could have been that guy. Maybe he's going to blow up and be a bust. If you don't get Manziel, the way they got Bridgewater, if they would have drafted Teddy with that eighth pick, I would have been irate. Yeah. But trading, that's exactly what I wanted them to do, was trade back into that first round and scoop up a quarterback that was lingering around. So, yeah, very happy with that.
See, I don't have an NFL team.
I know. You just go around and make fun of everybody else's.
Right, which has worked out supremely in the Midwest. But if they would have taken Manziel, I was all in.
Were you really?
I was ready.
Damn it. They tried to trade up, and Cleveland outbid them. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was locked into, like, I never watched the NFL draft. Because yeah. Most of the time, like, I don't care. But Manziel to the Vikings,
oh.
I was getting pretty amped up.
Would have been so sweet.
And then nothing.
Would have been so sweet. I was going to buy a Johnny Football jersey that night. And we've talked about jerseys. We're not jersey. I would buy a Johnny Football jersey if he was wearing purple.
LeBron had one on the next day.
LeBron can't wear Cleveland stuff. What are you talking about?
LeBron can do what he wants. He's LeBron.
Here's a football tweet from our old friend Zachlopedia. I found this interesting.
The Zachlopedia has some insights.
Well, he's buddies with all these guys who are on the team, so like when they sign free agent deals, like Zach's all over it.
He's a good follow.
Yeah. So apparently, according to Zachlopedia, Siobhan Dika never played at Iowa State because of that knee injury.
Problem, yeah.
And he's a guy who, to start his career, they were fans. They're saying NFL.
Yeah.
This is when he's like a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
And he can't stay healthy, but he's going to go and play at Rhode Island for Bill Blyle. Who's now the offensive coordinator. But I thought his career was over. That's what we were told last year, right?
Yeah, that is interesting. So he has eligibility left, obviously.
Yeah, well, maybe he's never played a game.
I wonder if they just said, hey, your time's up here, which I get. They've got a lot of depth on the line.
Well, I don't think like Iowa State's like deceiving us here. I think it might have been a decision by Siobhan.
Just
like
to
a
give
year
it a
ago
shot.
To hang up the cleats, and maybe now he's had like a change of heart or something. But that's cool. I was really happy to read that.
Keep an eye on that. He was a good kid.
Yeah.
I think his family moved to town.
Oh, really?
And opened up a restaurant and the whole thing in Marshalltown.
Again, and that's when you look back to last year's, that's a massive hole. Siobhan Dika, because he was penciled in to start last year. He was going into fall camp because that's when that knew. And that was the start of it. And then you're like, uh-oh.
Well, good for him and good for Bill Blyle.
Bill Blyle, absolute class act.
First class.
Perhaps one of the
nice guy.
Top two or three men I have ever met in coaching.
Him and Luke Wells.
Luke Wells, man. Love me some Luke Wells.
Hey,
Utah State Aggies. I got a call from Luke Wells. This was like, he was off recruiting. He saw a Bush Light billboard and called me just because he wanted to say hi. It reminded him. Yeah. Luke Wells is awesome. So he's co-offensive coordinator, I believe, out there at Utah State. They were really good this year.
Chucky or the quarterback?
The quarterback, yeah. Little quarterback.
Good player.
You got Tom Herman. I'm trying to think of Rhodes coaches.
Rhodes proteges. Chris Ash is still kicking around down at Arkansas now, I think.
Yep.
Tommy's
in Ohio State.
Yep. Wally, of course, the Burnham's still here.
Yeah.
And there's been some guys. Where'd Courtney end up? Indiana,
I don't believe
right?
He's
no, he went to Indiana, I thought.
Courtney's
in
Indiana?
I think he got hired as advisor in Indiana.
Hold on. I got to Google this. This is news to me.
I think I read that on Football Scoop. Messingham got picked up. He's not a coordinator or anything. He's just an advisor for the Hoosiers. No? Did I make that up?
I'm not seeing it. Oh, yeah. So we got it right here from April 25th. He has been hired the offensive quality control position.
Right. So it's like an advisor.
It's a job.
It's a job.
It's in a BCS conference.
Again, Courtney got a hard time, but he was another one of those. He would always talk to you.
Oh, he was great.
He's a professional.
I loved him too.
Yeah.
He
You feel bad for these guys when they lose their job because it is a business, and they have to move their families now.
Yeah.
Which is not an easy thing to do. They obviously made a lot of money while they were in Ames, and they'll be fine. But, yeah, they're good. They're people at the end of the day.
Correct. I wish that our posters and Twitter people on Twitter would think about that a little bit more. You can be critical.
Just a little bit.
You can be critical. We don't have a problem with being critical. I mean, these guys are being paid a lot of money. You're donating your money because you want to see a good program. But they are human beings, that aspect of it. We're about done, Bloom. We wanted to talk NFL draft. We did. Oh, here's the topic. West Virginia's basketball program.
Oh.
What in the name of Bob Huggins himself is going on down there? So you have Aron Harris transfers earlier in the year.
Has he picked school yet?
No, I don't believe so.
I think he has.
And then Tracy Henderson.
Two starters.
Announces over the weekend that he's leaving too. So now you have a West Virginia program, Bloom, that was a dark horse, a major dark horse to win the league.
And you're forgetting one other thing. Remy Debo, that Frenchman who just assassinated Iowa State down in Morgantown, he might just stay in France. He might not come back to school.
I did not hear that. I didn't know that aspect.
The Debo might be out.
So that's three starters.
Right. So Juwan Staten is screwed.
He's going
to have to score 4 points a game,
Because, seriously, is it too much to say that they were an extreme dark horse to win the league next year?
No, not with Doug. That was a good group. They had that big guy developing, Williams, with the
Huggins
goggles.
Huggins is a proven coach.
But they hate him. Basically what it comes down to.
So Huggins, he's just got to either change or get out. Right?
It's a different world now.
You've got to coddle these kids, essentially.
You have to. It's the way it is. I know the old school people are like, no, you can't change. This is what happens. You lose your guys.
This country, I mean, what does it come
to? You could get into an argument about that. But it comes back to the same thing. It's a business, and if you want to win, you need players. And to get players, sometimes you have to coddle them.
Because that's what they do in the AAU circuit. I mean, it's not like these AAU coaches are hard on these kids.
And there's a way to do it, but Huggins is just almost too far over the top now. So, I don't know. But they were a borderline, at least a top five team in the conference next year. Now they're definitely in the bottom three.
Yeah.
As good as Staten is.
Yeah, because we probably should have done a little more research before it is.
They have a couple transfers that sat out this year that are okay. But
depth-wise, I mean, golly, they can't have a lot of it, I wouldn't think, after, you know, everything that's gone down. So that's I think that was an interesting topic because it really changes the pecking order of the Big 12 conference next year. And that's about all I've got. This is a deal where it's the off season. We actually had a lot to talk about today thanks to the renderings.
And the Greek.
GT. Anything else going on with you? How's the wedding plans?
I say yes a lot, and I spend a lot of money.
Don't spend too much on your wedding.
I'm not going to spend. I'm rationing.
You know, you could have just talked to me. I would have hooked you up with some people down in Southwest Iowa. We could have really cut back on some costs.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm
getting out of the journalism business, and I'm going to start a caterer, even though I can't cook.
Just because they just gouge you?
You can't argue with them. Like, this guy tried to upcharge me last week. He gave me a quote. I said, fine, it's a good quote. He sends me back a thing, and he added a 12% gratuity out of nowhere. It's like, where did this come from? He goes, that's just our fees. It's like, well, you didn't tell me that before.
Yeah, something that could have been brought to your attention yesterday.
So we had a little talk with the caterer guy, got his prices back down. He's like, do you want to do this or not? Talk to him like a kindergartner, and sometimes it works. But yeah, weddings are expensive for one day.
How was the registration?
Oh, man.
Like registering for gifts, did that go okay?
No. Longest 5 hours I've ever had in my life.
That's brutal.
It was fun for the first half hour.
It's brutal because...
And then every pillow looks the same.
Like half the things these women think that they need, you don't really need. You don't. And you're going to have... Yeah.
I picked out a grill and I was like, all right, I'm out.
What'd you go with?
I don't... Something sweet.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Got the hotel for your wedding. Booked.
2.5 months.
Yep, bachelor party coming up June 7th.
We should get the Fanatics out there.
Yeah.
They can buy me
They can commentate on the golf.
A tequila with no lime.
Fanatics, we appreciate you listening to this week's Mr. B Clothing podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. He is Brent Bloom. My name is Chris Williams. We're signing off. So long.
Be well.